History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A Twin Cities sheriff is talking about it. It's something we've talked about on this show, but I think a lot of people are scared to discuss it. We have a gang problem in the Twin Cities, and right now the main gang activity is centered in the Somali community. Young Somali people who are making trouble. Sheriff came on today to talk about the increase in gang activity. Perhaps you've seen some of the video from over the weekend. There have been a number of shootings in the Twin Cities, in the suburbs, in northeast Minneapolis and north Minneapolis. There was a murder this weekend. We cannot let political correctness stop us from addressing a real issue in the community, and that's what the sheriff was bringing up. Is the sheriff right? Are we worried about being too PC? And is that making the Twin Cities less safe? I think it is, and I think we can do something that is difficult. We can talk about a gang problem in one group in the Twin Cities without being racist about it. Here are a couple of the comments. I want to play a couple of the comments, and I welcome your input at 651-461-9226. This is Sheriff Bob Fletcher, who was on with Vanita this morning. So first, I want you to hear him talk about how many young people were concerned about, because to me, it's a lot. It's a lot of young people, and also it's a small number of people in general.
There's 100,000 Somali people in Minnesota, and we're really targeting 300. You know, it's a very 300 young youth that are misguided and need some redirection and correction and accountability. To be honest with you, putting some of them in jail is a part of the solution.
I think that's right. I think that's right. We have had more kind of, I don't want to say soft approach, but we've struggled with putting young people in jail. And look, I don't think anybody believes that a good long-term solution for a 14, 15, 16-year-old is a 20 or 30-year prison sentence. But people got to get locked up, right? There's been this local wave of violence. And it's okay to talk about it, right? I think it's okay to talk about it. And Bob Fletcher has some credibility here in Ramsey County, in St. Paul. He has been actively working with the Somali community, so he's not coming at this from kind of the perspective that some of the Facebook crime group warriors kind of come from. I thought this statement was very interesting when he was on with Vanita this morning, because I do think this statement, I want you guys to listen to it and react to it at 651-461-9226, because I do think that our Midwestern Minnesota kindness does have us censoring what we would say if this were gangs in North Minneapolis, if this were 20 years ago when we had problems with Hmong gangs in this community, if it was 30 years ago when it was Latino gangs. Here is what Sheriff Fletcher said about the situation with Somali gangs right now.
The ICE surge and all the other things going on have prevented us from actually talking about this problem. And I, in good conscience, just couldn't continue to pretend that it wasn't a problem.
I think the sheriff is spot on. There is a fraudulence, and I choose that word intentionally, but there is a fraudulence in seeing all these social media videos where you see what's going on and who's involved, and then this unwillingness to just say what the reality is. Part of the reason that we got an out-of-control fraud problem in the state of Minnesota is that people were too afraid to just be honest about what was going on. In the state government, people were too afraid to say, this seems like BS. This seems unbelievable. And why was there fear? Because they were afraid they were going to be called racist. Was that fear well-founded? Yes, they were sued by the white lady who was running the whole thing. They were sued and accused of being racist. I do think there has to be a way for people who are fair, who are good, well-intentioned, non-racist people to discuss what is a real issue. And right now, if you believe the sheriff's numbers, we got 300 or so young Somali kids who need some consequences if they're breaking the law. And I think our fear is holding us back. So we can talk about things. 651-461-9226. One texter, lock them up or deport them. So I will point out that despite the rhetoric from the president, the rhetoric from Tom Emmer, the rhetoric from the Republican Party that has decided that Somali Minnesotans are sort of the shorthand kind of political pawn when you want to talk about fraud, when you want to talk about illegal immigration. But the facts are that most Somalis in Minnesota are citizens. Most were born here. And certainly if you're talking about young people who are involved in gangs, I would wager that almost all of these folks are second generation straight up Americans. So that's the type of discussion about this that, frankly, it allows liberals to just say, yeah, it's all racist. It's all racist. It's not racist to discuss this. We've talked about these gang issues as a community, and gangs are generally people of the same ethnicity or race. It's just the reality. It's a gang. You're hanging out with your people. I think it's all right to name it. A texter is saying, thank you for talking about this issue. It's not racist when you're just being honest and transparent. I do think the way the sheriff talked about it is right. There are 100,000 people in this community. You cannot say in the Somali Minnesota community, you cannot look at that whole group and be like, it's a bunch of fraudsters and it's a bunch of gangbangers. No, absolutely not. But not talking about it, what good does that do? What good does that do? What has that done for us? Nothing. And so we can talk about it. Now, does it mean that every time there's a crime, you have to say Somali murder? No. And if that's your approach, think hard about why you feel that's important. Right. But when we're talking about a trend, I think it's OK. Not I think it's OK. It is OK to talk about the trend, talk about what's going on. And in fact, it's necessary to talk about. Lots of texts coming in at 651-461-9226. When citizens take being PC too far as to insist on not demanding accountability by others, not following the law and harming others, that is a huge problem. It has nothing to do with racism. If you do bad things, no matter who you are, you need to pay the price. I'm tired of the racism excuse and allowing bad things to go unpunished. I do think that consequences have to be a part of the equation. And we cannot allow our community to fall into a lawless situation. And every summer, we're always a little bit on the precipice of that, right? You always feel that moment as the temperatures heat up, the nights get longer, the grudges get angrier, and you see more shootings and more violence. And it's okay to talk about it. And frankly, I do think that there's an opportunity here for our Somali business owners, for our elected officials, to also step up and be a voice about this and talk about the fact that, like, we need to do a better job. We need to get these young people and get these gangs under control. And I think if you had a group of gang members in Uptown who are white, you would expect the city council member for that area to stand up and say something. And I think that I'm curious to see who's going to seize this opportunity to step forward and try to help do the right thing. We saw this with fraud when there was the former Department of Justice guy who wrote a story, I think, for the Independent, talking about some of the cultural issues in his own community. And he came on our show, and I thought it was very helpful. Texters pointing out that in 2022, remember, we had the fireworks sort of chaos. Michael Rainville, the city council member, said, rightly, says this texter, he was going to the mosque to talk to the imams. And they turned that into, like, he's a huge racist, but really, like, that's a reasonable thing to do. Now, hopefully, Sheriff Fletcher stepping up and talking about this is going to kind of clear the way to dealing with the problem. And texter, another thing, if you listen, and you should check out the podcast, the whole interview with Sheriff Fletcher and Vanita, but saying that the imams want to help steer the moms want to help steer their children in the right direction for their own good, which I think is right. I don't want to see our political correctness and our fear of being called racist keeping us from addressing a real safety issue in our community. 651-461-9226. More Drive Time when we come back.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Just a reminder, we are giving away Twins tickets today. Twins Ticket Tuesday. So keep listening. I mean, you got a pretty good chance, I would say. Tickets we're giving thanks to Luther Key of Bloomington. Great, beautiful new dealership at 35W and 494 in Bloomington. But they power Twins Ticket Tuesday, and we appreciate their support. The giveaway is to four tickets to Saturday's game. So make sure you can go and be ready when you hear that sound. We're talking about the sheriff from Ramsey County today basically saying what law enforcement has known, but I think there's a fear in our community to talk about the fact that right now when we have a gang problem, the gang problem is largely young Somali men. And the sheriff said there are 100,000 Somalis in our state, in our community. He's only talking about 300. My question to you is whether the fear is preventing us from taking reasonable action at 651-461-9226. How much of this is created by politicians, says the texter. When political parties want to weaponize issues rather than work together to solve problems, it creates this kind of environment. We know the weaponization that has happened towards the Somali community. Do we believe some people want to honestly solve the problem? I think that's a great text, and it's a great point, because it is difficult to take some people's supposed concern for this issue seriously. You know, when they do things like post on social media and retweet videos showing a bunch of young people wearing hijabs, And the president of the United States posted, reposted End Wokeness. Public school in St. Paul, Minnesota. Every girl is in a hijab in kindergarten. To which I would say, great, I'm glad those girls are at school in kindergarten. What is the complaint? What are we doing? So, yes, I do think you can look at the motivations of some people. Because some people have a desperation to be able to say Somali, 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 Somali. When really what they're saying is, I'm racist, I'm racist, I'm racist, I'm racist. And we have to be able to talk about reality. If there is a gang problem in the Twin Cities, which there is, and if that gang problem is has a nexus in the Somali community, then we got to talk about it. We got to figure out in that community who are the faith leaders who are going to step up, who are the business owners, who are the parents, who are the elected officials, who's going to step up and help us put an end to this and figure it out. Because we have seen other first generation immigrant groups have similar challenges. And we've also seen a willingness to be honest and get with it and get it together. Texters point out that the Hmong people were incredible at taking care of their low-income housing in Minneapolis off 94 and Broadway. Texter says, best people I ever met. Another texter says, the problem is that first-generation immigrants are often so insular that you foster a community that develops gangs. As Americans, we need to support the first-generation immigrants so they never get to that point of their kids feeling lost and feeling like they must join a gang. I think that's an interesting text. It does go to the fact that this is complicated stuff, and the reason that I bring up the fact that in our community, we had challenges with young Hmong people and lawlessness. We had challenges with young Latino immigrants and gangs and lawlessness. And there is some responsibility on us that when we welcome immigrants to our community, and yeah, you can just say like, deport them, I don't want it. Well, they're here. So enough with that. That's not helpful. How do we do a better job so this isn't the outcome? I think that's a reasonable question. I also think that it's reasonable to say today we also are where we are with the gang problem, and having kumbaya conversations is not necessarily going to get it done. That some people are going to have to be locked up. There are going to have to be consequences because otherwise it just keeps going. So I'm optimistic with the sheriff coming forward and talking about it, and I want to see more of it. There are plenty. The political structure in Minneapolis and St. Paul is Democrats. And Democrats have had a real challenge in expressing a desire to have law and order. And I think that is foolish for the Democratic Party. You do not have to cede. No political party should cede any issue to the other side because everybody wants to feel safe in their community. It's not a controversial issue. People want to feel safe. And so a little bit of reclaiming the dialogue, I think, would be useful. Let's break. It's 5:30. In just a minute, we're going to talk about collecting. Do you collect any? I want you to text in with what you collect. And that Greg Swan is going to take that conversation in a direction that I think you'll find interesting. 651-461-9226. Just text, what do you collect? Greg Swan explaining the internet in just a minute on CCO.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Greg Swan explains the internet. Greg is with us in studio. It's good to see
here
you, my
friend.
Here
we are. I'm so excited about this topic today.
Well, this idea of collecting is fascinating to me. And I did ask people to text in at 651-461-9226. Would you like to know what people are collecting?
Oh, I can't wait to find out. Did you know 40 to 60% of Americans actively collect things?
I'm not surprised because I've been in a lot of people's houses over the years and people have a lot of weird crap.
I think we tend to think of that as like a boomer thing or maybe an older generation thing, but that's not true. And I can't wait. What are they collecting?
Pinball machines.
Oh my. Whoa, that's an expensive one.
That is expensive.
I'm jealous. Your basement is loud.
Old baseball cards.
Okay. Classic.
Old clocks.
Hmm.
Star note bills. Firearms. Prince, been collecting for years, Prince albums that are not opened.
Ooh.
Magazines, CDs, old coins and bills. I collect rocks and empty boxes.
Oh, I love this.
I think a lot of us collect empty boxes.
I see my garage right now.
Agates. Chris in Farmington collects agates and bicentennial quarters.
Oh, these are great. I just imagine at the clock person's house, like what it sounds like at noon. I'm just like that explosion of sound, and it's so fun because that's culture.
So
right,
part of what is amazing about this topic and what I like about you exploring this topic is that we have this idea that the collectors are old people. Some are, and by old I mean Gen X and above.
Yeah, it goes into.
Do you collect anything?
Of course, I collect things, but I don't necessarily have a curio cabinet. Of things that I'm going to dust.
Yep.
And that was what I was exploring.
We used to have teacups, like antique teacups. We have, I collected antique radios for a bit. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Look at me now.
I mean, they add up.
Now I work on an antique radio. So
that's
antique radio station.
There's a delightful thing that's happening with Gen X and millennials, and it's all really all generations, but we're starting to collect digital things. And okay.
What does that mean
like your camera roll is full of garbage things, or that does not mean NFTs. But what that does mean is that we are able to use our phones to identify things and save them down to an album and share them unlike ever before. And the first thing that we're collecting is birds.
Birds.
Have you become a bird person yet?
Not yet, but I know you are. You are all in.
I mean,
you?
So I'm pulling out my pair of binoculars, right?
I like. You know, when you see the bird landing on the back porch.
Yeah. So it used to be you would spot the bird through your binoculars.
Yeah.
And maybe you write it down in your life log paper book, and then that's it.
Right.
But now, oh my gosh! Thanks to Bird Buddy and all of those cool camera bird feeders.
So my mom has one of these, the Bird Buddy feeder.
And they're taking pictures of birds, they're identifying them, and then you can share them. You save them into your album, and you can share them. And we're seeing an explosion on social of people that are getting very into bird collecting, or bird watching, and bird collecting. And the other app that's really fueling this is called Merlin. And Merlin is from Cornell. It's a free app. And you essentially turn on your phone and it listens for birds around you. And then it logs what it's hearing into your wave list.
Really?
It is so cool because it is hearing birds that you can't see. And then it shows you what it looks like and you can go try to see them, right? And every day there's a different challenge. It knows exactly where you are. And it's like, there should be a red-winged blackbird around you. Try to go hear one.
Whoa.
Right? So we're gamifying the idea of going outside.
Right.
And also using AI technology, visual technology to really explore what is around you in a different way than what your grandparents maybe did when they were bird watching.
It is, in many ways, the ability to use AI, to use the fact that you've got a video camera, microphone.
access
just
to this,
in your phone.
This huge large language model that knows what every bird sounds like, what it looks like, and it can help you identify them.
So do you think people are interested in the discovery or in the collection of like ticking off, oh, I saw this, I saw that, I saw that?
I think it's hitting different pieces for different people. And also, there are so many memes right now about people of our generation. Things that say, remember, folks, if you're ever trying to buy beer or wine and you forgot your ID, you can always show them you have Merlin installed on your phone, and legally they have to accept that. I don't know if the Wild Turkey vendors will accept
that. I don't know
they
would take it, no.
It's been really fun to see that, and then also to start to share that with other generations and sitting outside and being able to teach your kids what those birds are, or to just learn more about nature in a way that you might not have before without that technology.
That's pretty cool. Greg Swan is with us. Every month he explains the internet. We're talking about collecting in a digital sense, and the birds are part of it. The first thing I thought of when you mentioned this topic was the Pokemon type situation, where I have to tell you, like, I am amazed to see like people lining up around Target, knowing like when the drop is. Because it's like sometimes it's like middle of the day or something, and you're looking, you're like, why are all of these grown-ups standing? But it is the Pokemon phenomena is still huge.
It's still going on. So
it's not just COVID when we were all doing Pokemon Go.
Oh, so yesterday is the 10-year anniversary of the launch of Pokemon Go.
Huh.
And I remember, wow. I worked downtown Minneapolis at the time. I remember the crowds of people coming
yes.
around.
I was doing it, man.
And I was working at a local agency in the North Loop, and I was loading up one of those gyms so that people would specifically come by, and we're high-fiving them out the window. So that notion that like they're, you could use your phone to unlock a digital collectible and save it is something that has been in the zeitgeist for 10 years.
Yeah, pretty cool. All right, so we're collecting birds.
Collecting birds.
But you've also become a bit of an aviation enthusiast.
So I've been attending a number of Twins games lately, and if you've been to a Twins game at our beautiful Target Field, you know there are planes that fly right overhead. And sometimes you're wondering, I wonder where that came from. I wonder what kind of plane that is. I wonder where they're landing. And you can use a number of different apps to track them. Flight 24 is the big one that everyone uses. Flight Radar 24, just really a free app where you can see a radar of where you're nearby and click on it and see where that plane's coming. But there's new apps coming where you can collect them and you can log that you saw that plane. You can share a photo of that, and then it'll actually tell you if you've seen that plane before.
Huh.
And so this is going to unlock a whole new level of plain nerddom, which I am here for.
All right, let's talk more about that. Other things that are collecting. So many texts. Keep the texts coming. Everything that you're collecting.
Oh, I can't wait to hear them.
One texter asking if our guest is 70 years old. I think you have the soul of a 70-year-old, perhaps.
You too could be a 70 years old with using apps and AI.
More with Greg Swan when we come back here on Drive Time. We're talking about collecting and the fact that collections have continued. They've never stopped. They're living on the internet. Greg Swan is with us discussing this. We actually got a phone call, Greg.
Oh, my gosh. I cannot wait to hear.
Andy in Uptown wants to tell us. Andy, what do you collect?
Well, I'm from Duluth, born and raised. I've been living here for 25 years, and I collect Duluth stuff. Old photographs, souvenir items, anything I can find related to Duluth or the history of Duluth.
Oh, I love that. Do you take photos of any of that stuff? Do you keep an archive of that?
I don't. My aunt, every once in a while, I'll find photos and she'll post it on, there's a couple local Duluth history sites and stuff like that. So
that's great. Is the thrill in the hunt of finding it? Or of having it?
A little bit of both. It's always, I do estate sales for a living. I've been doing it since I was a teenager up in Duluth. And so it's, a lot of people have old photo albums and they travel. And, you know, most of the photo albums, people really don't care anymore. If they don't, they don't have the relatives listed, they don't know who it is. But, a lot of people, they'll take a weekend trip up to Duluth, and you'll find these old black and white photos, and You know, a lot of common ones are the lift bridge and ships and stuff like that. But I like old architecture, so I like when they've taken pictures, you know, near downtown or, you know, areas that aren't so touristy and stuff like that.
That's
so
cool, Andy.
But it's, you know, I've found things, you know, 25 years ago when I got started in the business that I have never seen since. So
good stuff. Thank you, Andy. Pez dispensers, says a texter, wristwatches, pink depression era glass, Coca-Cola toys. People collect all sorts of stuff.
You know where else they find stuff?
Where?
eBay, Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
Like the internet is helping us collect those things.
One of the things that I think people worry about in these sort of collection apps, like you're at the Twins game and you're looking at your phone. Does this have you less present in the real world?
I think that that's a good question to have. And also, there was a teenager playing Pokemon Go sitting in front of me at the Twins game while I'm taking pictures of the planes while other people are watching YouTube videos. And so to each his own, arguably some of these apps, and there's another one called iNaturalist where you can identify plants around you. There's even one where you can identify cats, your local neighborhood cats called Catch Cat. That's helping you understand more about what's going on around you. And if technology and AI can be used to unlock more of the real world and bring us together, then that's the best possible outcome for this technology.
Yeah, I mean, you could really make a case that this is making you more present, more observant, more connected to what's going on in the real world.
And I'm starting to learn the sounds of the planes to be able to identify them. My kids are making so much fun of me.
This is such great dad material,
right? Oh, man, it's just a whole new way. I'm not 70 plus years old, but I got a lot of respect for them.
Greg Swan has a Substack that you can subscribe to, and you should. It's called Social Signals by Greg Swan. Greg, we thank Finn Partners for allowing you to come on with us. Greg is a partner there and thinking about stuff in the future, and this is right in there for sure. Good stuff. Thank you, Greg.
See you on the internet.
Continental Diamond Time Check. It is 5:57. They love hearing about people who are collecting estate jewelry or pre-owned luxury timepieces. They have a great collection of both that you can check out at ContinentalDiamond.com. Dan and I will be back with you tomorrow, so let's get a Twins win tonight. Here are the home of the Twins, WCCO.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.